Namaste Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we are reading in Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 82nd chapter, and we're up to text 39. Krishna and Balaram meet the residents of Vrindavan, close at Kurukshetra. So it's just, we've been having a whole series of texts, but this time we're just having one text and fairly, well, medium-sized purport, we can say. Shishuku Uvacham Gopyash Cha Krishnam Upalabhya Chiraj Abhishtam Yat Prekshane Dvishishu Pakshma Pitam Shapanti Dhrigbir Ridhi Kritam Alam Parirabhya Sarvas Tad Bhavam Apur Api Nitya Nujam Durapam Shishuko Uvacham Gopyascha Krishnam Upalabhya. Oh, it's a Brahma Sangha. Gopyascha Krishnam Upalabhya Chiradibas Pavishtam.
Gopyascha Krishnam Upalabhya Chiradibas.
Yad Prekshane Drishishu Pakshma Kritam Shapanti. Dhrigdir vidhi kritam alam parirabhya sarvas. Tad bhavam apur api nitya yujam durapam. Gopyascha krishnam upalabhya chirad abhishtam. Yad prekshane drishishu pakshma kritam shapanti. Drigbi riddhi kritam alam parirabhya sarvas. Tad bhavam apur api nitya yujam durapam. Others?
Thank you.
Shishukulvacham. Sukadeva Goswami said, Gopya, the young cowherd women, cha, and Krishnam, Krishna, Upalabhya, sighting, Chirat, after a long time, Abhishtam, their object of desire, Yat, whom, Prekshane, while seeing, Vishishu, on their eyes, Pakshma, of lids, that refers to the eyelids, Kritam, the maker, Shapanti, they would curse, Vidhi, with their eyes, Vidhi Kritam, taken into their hearts, Alam, to their satisfaction, Padirabhya, embracing, Sarva, all of them, Tat, in him, Bhavam, ecstatic absorption, Apu, attain, Api, even though, Nitya, constantly, Yujam, for those who engage in yogic discipline, Durapam, difficult to attain. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Translation, Shukadeva Goswami said, while gazing at their beloved Krishna, the young gopis used to condemn the creator of their eyelids, which would momentarily block their vision of him. At last, he's in brackets. Now, seeing Krishna again after such a long separation with their eyes, they took him into their hearts, and there they embraced him to their full satisfaction. In this way, they became totally absorbed in ecstatic meditation on him, although those who constantly practice mystic yoga find such absorption difficult to achieve. Purport, according to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti, just then Balaram saw the gopis standing a short distance away. Seeing them trembling with eagerness to meet Krishna and apparently ready to give up their lives if they could not, he tactfully decided to get up and involve himself elsewhere. Sri Baladev Ki Jan, so kind. Then the gopis attained the state described in the current verse. In referring to the gopis' intolerant disrespect of Lord Brahma, the creator of eyelids, Shukadeva Goswami is giving vent to his own subtle jealousy of the gopis' favored position. Srila Jiva Goswami offers an alternate understanding of the phrase Nitya Yujam, which may mean even of the Lord's principal queens who tend to be proud of their constant association with him. Now, I would be doing you an injustice and myself as well if we didn't look at the word for word and just remind ourselves, what is that? Nitya Yujam. That's towards the end of the sloka. Nitya constantly Yujam for those who engage in yogic discipline. So here, an alternative meaning is even of the Lord's principal queens who tend to be proud of their constant association with him. In other words, even the yogis and the queens don't quite measure up to the intense emotion and, you can say, access to Krishna that the gopis have. In Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Srila Prabhupada writes, In Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Srila Prabhupada writes, because they had been separated from Krishna for so many years, the gopis, having come along with Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yasoda, felt intense ecstasy in seeing Krishna. No one can even imagine how anxious the gopis were to see Krishna again. As soon as Krishna became visible to them, they took him inside their hearts, through their eyes, and embraced him to the full satisfaction. Even though they were embracing Krishna only mentally, they became so ecstatic and overwhelmed with joy that for the time being they completely forgot themselves. The ecstatic trance which they achieved simply by mentally embracing Krishna is impossible to achieve, even for great yogis constantly engaged in meditation on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna could understand that the gopis were wrapped in ecstasy by embracing him in their minds, and therefore, since he is present in everyone's heart, he also reciprocated the embracing from within. Om Jnanatim Rindasya Jnanjana Sharakya Chakshur Militanyana Tajman Shri Guru Vimaha. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Aham hi Prishtor Yamano Bhavadvir Achaksha Atma Gavamo Trayavan Nabakpatanch Atma Samam Patatrinas Tatasamam Vishnu Gatim Vipashtitaha. O rishis, who are as powerfully pure as the sun, I shall try to describe to you the transcendental pastimes of Vishnu as far as my knowledge is concerned. As the birds fly in the sky, as far as their capacity allows, so do the learned devotees describe the Lord as far as their realization allows. What I'm doing right here is just a little bit, a few introductory verses to set an appropriate mood that somebody like me could try to speak on such exalted topics. So it's a humble admission of my inability and sort of a disclaimer as well. What could we understand about Krishna? Yato prapyanya vartanta vachasta manasa saha aham chamya ime devas tasmai bhagavate namaha. Words, mind, and ego, with their respective controlling demigods, have failed to achieve success in knowing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, we simply have to offer our respectful obeisances unto him as a matter of sanity. How about that one? That's the last text of chapter 6, canto 3. That's text 40, and that's Maitreya speaking to Vidura. We could take some solace. We're all struggling. The material world is always a great struggle. Kartaham iti manyate, great struggle for existence, isn't it? So many obstacles, so many. Sometimes everything seems to go exactly the opposite of what we thought it would happen. One thing after another. But who's speaking here? I don't know who this is. This is in the 11th canto. I'll just read the English. How can the fire of material suffering continue to burn in the hearts of those who worship the Supreme Lord? The Lord's lotus feet have performed innumerable heroic deeds, and the beautiful nails on his toes resemble valuable jewels. The effulgence emanating from these nails resembles cooling moonshine, for it instantly relieves the suffering within the heart of the pure devotee, just as the appearance of the moon's cooling light relieves the burning heat of the sun. In the second chapter of the 11th canto, anybody know who would be speaking this? I didn't make a note. Not sure. Okay. Check it. And one last introductory verse. Rupa Raghunatha Padi Haibe Akuti Kave Hama Bujhaba Seyuga La Piriti. When shall I be eager to understand the literature given by the Goswamis? When I shall be eager to understand the literature given by the Goswamis, then I shall be able to understand the transcendental love affairs of Radha and Krishna. Yadutama shloka gunar nuvarnam. In other words, we should hear descriptions of Krishna, uttama shloka, through the disciplic succession. And our acharyas very much, our authority very much centers on Srila Rupa Goswami, heading up the other five of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. And one of the reasons I quoted this verse is that in a few minutes, I'll treat us to some special nectar from one of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. I was a couple of days ago, Romapad Swami was giving class, and he says, I have become a great fan of Srila Jiva Goswami. So following in his footsteps, we'll hear something from Srila Jiva Goswami. In the word for word, we have one very important, deep word, Sanskrit word, abhishtam. Abhishtam. Here it's translated very simply, their object of desire. But abhishtam is the deepest desire of the soul. Deyam sada, what is it? Deyam sada parivabhagyam abhishtadoham. It says, the lotus feet of the Lord destroy the embarrassing conditions of material life. Tell me about it, right? And freely award the greatest desire of the soul. That's how it's rendered in the translation. That's Karabhajana to King Nimi. That's one of the three verses. Vande Mahapadushate Chadanar Vindam. Alluding to the advent of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It fulfills the deepest desire of the soul. And we also have a more well-known verse of Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Svayam Rupam Kadamayam Tadantisva Tadantikam. That Srila Rupa Goswami, he knew the inner feeling of what was within the heart of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this was astounding. Even to Lord Chaitanya, how he understood, he understands my heart. You know, he would write that verse and tuck it away, and then Lord Chaitanya would find it, and he was perfectly reciprocating with the innermost transcendental desires and emotions of the Lord, Srila Rupa Goswami, another Goswami. So that's important, this abhishta. And we also, we may think that we have so many desires. We do, but they're just mental coverings, these things that fall short of desiring the lotus feet of the Lord. But deep within ourselves, love of God is latent, is present in a latent form, and we're in the process of trying to invoke that. Nitya Seda Krishna Prema Sadhu Kavanaya Shravanadi Sudhichite, Kadaya Udaya. Love of God is eternally present within the heart of a living entity. This relates to that abhishta. In other words, within the heart is love of God. So our deepest desire is to, that would blossom, that love would blossom and unfold and expand and become manifest. And that should be our whole universe is yearning to express that love. Of course, we're hearing the ultimate examples of this love, the form of the resonance in Vrindavan, and today we're privileged and very humbled, we can say, by the opportunity to hear something about the topmost lovers of Krishna. Apu, attained, and then we have Dur Apam, so it's Apu, not Apo like Agua, but Apu, A-P-U-H, is glossed as attained, and then in the same slope, today's slope, we have durapam, difficult to attain. So the Brahma Sangita 534 and Srimad Bhagavatam 431.12 also confirmed that great yogis, they have a hard time. Of course, we did hear that the lotus feet of the Lord are just the nails on his lotus feet are like brilliant jewels, and they have cooling rays. So it's not a bad thing even to attain the tip of the toes. Hopefully that includes those brilliant nails of the lotus feet of Krishna. Pantastu koti satavatsara sambragam yo vayora tapi manaso munipungabanyan so pyasti yat prabhatasim navachintya tatve govindamani pudusham tamaham vachami. The jnanis, they speculate for millions of years. The yogis, they drill the respiration and do pranayama and so many things. And what do they get? After a long, long time, they may get a glimpse of the tips of the toes of Lord Sri Krishna. But the gopis, they're embracing Krishna within their minds and they're in total ecstasy. And they're finally seeing him. We were hearing the other day, someone suggested when devotee suggested here that that phrase that is said, separation makes the heart grow fonder. But in more common parlance, it's absence makes the heart grow fonder. So that's what's going on here. There's this tremendous buildup of so much time. Okay, yes, the Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. He's there within the hearts of the gopis. But they also like to see him with their eyes, even though they don't like that they have to blink sometimes. So they chastise, they rebuke the creator of eyelids, Lord Brahma. Why did you give us those things? Why can't we just be always like a name of Krishna's Nimishina, one who never blinks? The gopis would like to have those kind of eyes that never, never blink. Gopis obtained it. It's Apu. They attained, not Durapam. For them, it wasn't difficult in the sense that it took a long time before they can get to go see Krishna at Kurukshetra. So the yogis, they don't have that same access. Of course, the goal of jnana, yoga, karma, fulfilling your prescribed duties is ante narayana smriti. Somehow we have to get that absorption, not on the same level of the gopis, that's not possible, but we have to become fixed, which leads to the next point, that they became, in the purport it says, in this way they became totally absorbed in ecstatic meditation on him. So throughout the Bhagavad Gita, we're also encouraged to emulate or to follow in the lotus footsteps of the gopis' absorption. Man mana bhava man bhaktu. Become, engage your mind, always thinking of me. Vyavasyatika buddhi. Have single-minded intelligence. It's not that there's no intelligence. You Buddhi Yoga, we use our intelligence. Krishna gives us the intelligence, but that intelligence has to be centered on the Supreme Lord. And that leads to real love. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati refers to it as a centrifugal knowledge. Like if we're being thrown out, we're being absorbed and attracted by the external energy of the Lord. Bahiyat Artha Manina, in the words of Prahlad Maharaj. We need to change our center of gravity from something completely that doesn't really exist ultimately, from false ego and temporary configurations of the Lord's material energy. We even need to change our center of gravity to the real center of gravity, God, Lord Sri Krishna. And then love becomes possible. This is something to think about a little bit, how we said the difference between lust and love. We always hear about that. Okay, lust is like iron and love is like gold. You can also deliberate on the idea a little bit that in relativity and just without that center, without being connected with the absolute truth, vitayaritam na patiyeta na piyeta chatmani tadvidyad atmamaya atmamaya yatabasho yatatamaha, that anything that doesn't seem without relation to me is useless, zero, has no value. So if the object of our love is not in relationship with Krishna, then it's lust and it will never be satisfied. And it'll ultimately be frustrated, it'll ultimately be temporary. Even when people get married, they used to say, I don't know if they've changed the whole, they say, till death do us part. But that means that that's going to end, even then. Very often doesn't even end and last until then. So, this is... we're being urged, we're being coaxed or nudged towards this this single-minded attention, samadhi, mayi aveshita, that's also there in Bhagavad Gita in the 12th chapter. Aveshita, I would be surprised if it's not based on the root avesha, which is its supreme absorption in Krishna. So we heard from Narottam Das Thakur, and he said that, he wrote that, I'll be able to understand something about the loving affairs between Radha and Krishna. When will I be able to understand? When I become very eager to study and understand the works of the Goswamis. So, guess what I brought from India? Gopal Champu. And we have to be careful when we read certain sections of Gopal Champu. Hopefully after the movement now 50 years, we can sort of very cautiously enter into the nectar. This is by Srila Jiva Goswami. It's not that Srila Jiva Goswami only wrote these abstruse philosophical works like the Sandarbhas. But there's also, this book actually has about 1,200 pages. And I'm just going to be very brief, maybe three very relevant, what are they called, excerpts. First, a real short one at the beginning. This is chapter 23. It's called Meeting in Kurukshetra. The trip to Kurukshetra took place before Balaram went on pilgrimage, which ended when Duryodhana was killed. In other words, Balaram's pilgrimage ended. We finally got to that place out, nearby the Battle of Kurukshetra, and Duryodhana, Bhima had their fight, etc. In the conversation between Kunti and Vasudeva at Kurukshetra, they referred to the killing of Kamsa. Thus, the trip took place not too long after killing Kamsa, in other words, after Kamsa was killed. Then a little ahead. This is I don't know, just some nectar. After they spoke, this is a personality by the name of Marukanta and others. After they spoke, first consulting with Yashoda, Nanda then consulted everyone gathered in the assembly. This is a quote from Nanda Maharaj, realization of Srila Jiva Goswami. Though we have great desire to go to Krishna, misfortune has prevented this. You have also concluded that it is unlikely that he will come here to Vrindavan. It is now heard that he is very eager to go to Kurukshetra to see the solar eclipse, and he is also full of affection for you. Since all people of the universe will come there, our going will not be surprising. This will not give the enemies an opportunity to see us as his friends and cause us problems because we are related to him. A very careful consideration here, practical. All said with showers with tears, by the way, this is pointed out. Quote, you have spoken nicely, but who should stay to protect Braj? Someone should be appointed. Those who have kept their wealth, homes, and children for Krishna after long separation have not had the opportunity to meet him quickly. By what logic can any of the cowherds who have the desire to meet him on the pretext of a journey to Kurukshetra be prevented? In other words, there's no logic that anyone would not want to go, but someone has to stay back. As they were considering this for a long time, a letter from Dvorka arrived in the assembly. It appears it's a letter from Krishna. Oh, Father, as long as I have not destroyed the enemies, I desire some means by which we can meet. Thus I suffer. I have found a solution now after a long time. Kurukshetra will be full of people on the occasion of the eclipse. I can easily meet you by this arrangement. Of course, I will come to Vraj and directly meet everyone. However, those who do not believe this should come and meet me in Kurukshetra. The others can stay in Vraj. Now, some of them had some pretty good reason not to believe. Krishna took a long time and was taking them. Even though the cows are my heart and my friends are my life, these friends should stay firmly in Vraj with the cows. So in one sense, those who stay back, according to Krishna, are the more faithful ones who have patience and believe Krishna will come there. So I don't have to go because they assume Krishna will come to Vrindavan. Hearing this, everyone spoke their approval, but there's more to it than that. There's some others that stayed back, the so-called husbands of the gopis. We'll hear that in a moment. Hearing this, everyone spoke their approval. Among those who developed faith by experiencing Krishna directly, the friends praised the proposal to show their acceptance. Since we serve him with our millions of life heirs, if he gives us a small order, we will accept it. On speaking this last part, Madhukanta became choked up and remained silent. Snigdha Kanta had to conclude. Snigdha means affection, right? Remembering your strong enthusiasm for going to Kurukshetra, my intelligence begins to tremble. Oh, Nanda, my intelligence is now constantly merged in bliss, seeing Krishna on your lap in Vraja. In this way, the day's talk was finished. This is back in Vrindavan. The same evening, in the assembly of Radha and Krishna, Snigdha Kanta spoke. Maybe the talk was not in Vrindavan. This is Snigdha Kanta in the assembly of Radha and Krishna. Krishna sent a letter composed of secret words to the gopis. And here's something from that. Though my secret meeting with you is always delightful, you are not aware of this meeting because of thinking it is only my spurti. Spurti. There's form or something? Or manifestation. So much for my meeting with you. It is possible for us to meet together in a situation where I am not despised and those who oppose our meeting are not present. Oh, beloved gopis, at Kurukshetra, once let us meet together. for maintaining our lives. When Yasoda became eager to go, Radha and others also became eager. But the apparent husbands of the gopis, who had previously prevented them from meeting Krishna, were also eager to go. Now that's a conflict of interest, isn't it? Since they saw the possibility of the gopis dying because of longing, they saw that everyone was completely dedicated to Krishna, and they realized the impossibility of preventing them from seeing him, they gave up interest in stopping the gopis going. So we see the so-called husbands of the gopis are not bad guys. They're devotees, and they have compassion. They wanted to go separately, but then, because of the secret message sent by Krishna, his close friends, taking the permission of Nanda, on the pretext of the danger of leaving Vraja unprotected, engaged those apparent husbands and others in guarding Vraj, while showing great friendship on meeting them. There are other examples, like Krishna sends Damodar Pandit, was it, to his mother, because he wanted a mission for him, but also Damodar Pandit was becoming a little overly familiar with Krishna or something. I believe the Lord Chaitanya, so there's sometimes things are done on some pretext, but also, okay, we protect Vraja while everyone's gone. One last part I'd like to share with you. The condition of the gopis is described. This is what we're getting to, current verse. In going to Kurukshetra to see Krishna, the gopis had their eyes closed. Then they opened their eyes. Then they fainted. Then they walked fast. Then they cried. Filled with longing, a moment seemed like a kalpa for them. Meeting him, it's like a heading called Meeting Him. This is number 36. Putting Uddhava in front, Krishna, the dark cloud, rose very gently and brought to life the Chataka bird gopis. Krishna looked at the gopis. They were thin with unkempt bodies, wearing old worn-out clothing. Their hair was falling over their faces. He became dizzy and took support of Uddhava. Weeping for a long time, he did not understand when he had come, why he came, what he was doing, and what had happened. When they glanced at his limbs on that long night, how can it be described? When the four eyes of Krishna and a gopi met, in other words, two and two, quickly her heart and her two eyes would become stunned. This is going more deeply into the theme of eyes and seeing. Who can describe the transformations of love that the gopis, filled with thirst because of the fire of long separation, achieved on seeing him? They cursed King Nimi for causing obstruction to seeing him by the blinking of their eyes. They cursed King Nimi. And then, okay, there's an explanation of this. Is King Nimi the same as Lord Brahma? No. So what's going on? King Nimi was cursed to leave his body. He then occupied the bodies of all beings, causing them to blink their eyes. So there's another explanation of this blinking function. It's not, maybe, so here the gopis also blame King Nimi. Radha fainted on climbing onto a cart at Kurukshetra because of her great longing. Krishna did the same. The fragrance of his limbs, which conquered her as she looked at him, made the other gopis also faint. When Radha and Krishna met, I'm keeping you in suspense now. When Radha and Krishna met, the symptoms of being stunned, perspiration, hair standing on end, choked voice, trembling, loss of color, tears, and fainting occurred. These symptoms spread to the other gopis also. In great distress, Uddhava, after a long time, managed to revive them. In other words, he felt distress because he felt for the gopis. With affection and care, he made them sit together in front of him. Their limbs faded because of emotions, their beauty lost because of tears welling up from inside. When the gopis looked at Krishna's feet with longing, he began wiping away their tears and skillfully made the gopis happy. In a solitary place at Kurukshetra, Krishna embraced and kissed the lotus-eyed gopis, wiped away their tears, asked how they were, and began praising them while comforting them. What a relief, to say, put it mildly. Oh, dearest gopis, this first separation has been most difficult for me. It is not surprising that it was possible that I die. What is surprising is that you maintain your life in prolonged separation to attain me. For that I praise you continually. Why did you remain suffering on seeing me within yourselves? Did you not see me? And of course it goes on. Srila Jiva Goswami Ki. Alright. It's time's up. So, conclusion. We can contemplate and gradually realize the profound truth regarding Adi Ras. That's the original Adi Ras, the original rasa, the rasa, the conjugal rasa, the basis. And now, I guess you'll say this is a very mundane. I don't want you to become let down, but Carl Jung had it right, and Freud had it completely backwards. What do I mean by that? That Carl Jung, I don't have the exact quote, but more or less, in so many words, his idea, well, first we'll talk about the more demoniac, much more demoniac, Freud. He was thinking that religion and spirituality and all that is just an expression of repressed sexual desire. You know, that's just a demoniac. In Bhagavad Gita, they think that everything is just based on lust. So he fits the bill perfectly. That's why Prabhupada considered him one of the three most demoniac of the Western philosophers. But then Jung had it much more closer to the truth, where he saw it that actually sexuality in this material world is really an expression of repressed spirituality. In other words, it is a perverted reflection. In other words, deep inside, the abhista, the innermost desire, is to love God. And to try to find love in these in lust and just mundane sex, that's actually the great force behind that is this amazing, incredible, strong urge that is spiritual in nature of the living entity to love Krishna, not only in conjugal ras, in any of the rasas, but to love Krishna. That's the abhista, that's the deep desire of the soul. And that's fulfilled by Krishna's lotus feet, for which we aspire. By the mercy of the previous acharyas, and especially by the mercy of our own founder acharya, the Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, we can gain a glimpse into the confidential dealings between Lord Krishna and his dearmost confidential devotee associates. So, thank you so much. Running a little late. So, anyone have a question or comment? Correction? 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, someone? Okay, thank you.
Hare Krishna. I see that the Krishna, I was talking to Pushkar and he said, one time they were telling Srila Prabhupada, the Krishna in Mathura.
I'll say the same thing Rupat Swami said to you. Speak a little slower.
Okay. I was talking to Pushkar Vari, and somebody was telling Srila Prabhupada, the Krishna in Dwarka, and the Krishna in Vrindavan, and the Krishna in Mathura, they are all different. And then Srila Prabhupada said, no, they are the same Krishna. So, but we also understand that Krishna also, you know, he has this Vasudeva Krishna and all this and that. Now, the question is, I see the Krishna outside of Vrindavan, Just like this Krishna in Kurukshetra, he's behaving just like the Krishna in Vrindavan. He has the same feelings, the same emotion, he's meeting the gopis. Even Srila Prabhupada named Krishna, Adiri, Krishna Pata Sarati. So, it's like, how come that this Vasudeva Krishna, outside of Vrindavan, he's with Radharani? Usually everybody says that, no, Krishna outside of Vrindavan is not Krishna, it's just Vasudeva Krishna. But I see that this Krishna outside, he's almost doing the same thing like in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, all this emotion, and also he becomes Jagannath.
Yeah, okay. This is a continuation of the question that came up
in the press
of Prabhupada Swami. We could discuss that for a few minutes. I will make a procedural remark at this point. I think the class is supposed to end at 8:45. So those who are enthusiastic to go to the next part of the program, which usually consists of breakfast prasad, are perfectly entitled to do that. And if a few of you would like to hang in and hear a little bit, we're not going to go on and on, but try to at least make a few comments on this rather esoteric subject. You're welcome to hang in here. With that, I'll just mention that what you said at the beginning of your remark right now has a lot to do, I think, with the adjustment here, is that, yes, there is, it's not that, there's two individuals or there's two entities. There's one Supreme Lord, and he has this aspect, Yadu Nandana or Yasoda Nandana, but they're the same person. I was trying to make that point during the class the other day, and it's something that I've been a little obsessed with the last few months, how we're so fortunate that in this Kali Yuga, one in a thousand, that we get Svayam Bhagavan and Yuga Avatar. They come and they merge into the same person. And when Vasudev brought Krishna to Gokul, it was not, it's not that then there were two Krishnas or something like that. In other words, so when Krishna, Yadu Nandan, when he's outside of Vrindavan, it's not that it's completely separate from Vasudev Krishna. It's pointed out by senior godbrother that, and he has a book about it, one part of his book on the Bhagavad Gita, that this battle of Kurukshetra is the same place where we're hearing about here, where the meeting took place, I think it was about 50 years earlier. And it's the same Krishna. So I guess there's some commentaries on this that when in the Chatur Shloka of Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna says Ramanti Cha, and that Machita Magata Pranavas, that he's drifting away and remembering that this is where he met the gopis 50 years earlier. And then when Arjuna says, Param Brahma, Param, he's reminding Krishna, hey, you're God, and I need instruction from you. And please come back to, there's a war about to take place, and, I'm in trouble, and don't drift away. And so the two, the Krishna of Vrindavan and Krishna of Dwarka, we shouldn't be surprised that sometimes there's an expression of one or the other, even though you would think that, no, when Krishna leaves Vrindavan, he's only going to be in that princely mood and majestic mood and thinking of the queens. We hear in, in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, in other works, where Krishna can't sleep at night. He's in Dwarka, but he's thinking of the gopis. Now, that's Krishna outside of Vrindavan, but he didn't stop being Yasoda Nandana. And then we heard that just how Mother Yasoda meets with Krishna at Kurukshetra. So it's not a surprise. After all, there's only one God. He doesn't really split in. He's apparently, has two moods. And so he says he's different because the moods are different. Does anyone want to add to this? Like, for instance, Pran Govinda Prabhu?
This is
first of all, did I have the right idea?
Yes.
Okay.
I think this is a vast subject matter. That's why Nectar of Devotion and has to be thoroughly understood. And Prabhupada summarized very nicely. In Sanat Sangita, we see that song, very famous song that Rupa Goswami Pad wrote.
Which Samhita?
The song that we sing in the temple. Sanaka sanatana varnita charite radhe jaya jaya madhava daite. Prabhupada sings that too. So question is, what is Rupa Goswami is asking from Sanat Kumar? They are like Santa Bhakta, now they became Vaishya Bhakta. But Rupa Goswami is so intimately with Srimati Radhani. What he is asking from the four Kumaras? Because in the Sanat Sangita, this explanation is also given that conception of Krishna, we are not talking about the opulence aspect. We are talking about if you divide the Krishna consciousness in spiritual realm by love, then it says sambram. Jiva Goswami Pad also gives there is two types of love, sambram prem and visambhana prem. Sambham Prem means with the awe and reverence concept of all majestic, he is powerful. So that concept we are not talking here. There is also love, but it is a feeble. Prabhupada translated as a feeble. It does not bring very close intimacy. So then next comes is a Vishambhana, where Vishambhana is divided into three further by Jiva Goswami Pad. And in Kurukshetra meeting, one of the three is very predominating, Utkantamayi, that who cannot sustain for a moment without seeing Krishna. And their love, the separation actually sustains the love. Separation is required, otherwise untimely death would take place. Because their love is so intense that the separation keeps the love alive.
Isn't at one point Krishna says, that's why I stayed separate, to increase your hankering for me?
Yes. Actually, next verse, you spoke 39, the 40, Prabhupada quoted that verse so much, and there's the actual explanation of that verse.
Okay, that's tomorrow.
Mayi bhaktir hi bhutanam amritattaya kalpate. The next verse, very famous verse.
So tomorrow we'll hear that.
So then it says that, like if you can, I mean, you can go back many stories, like in Calcutta, Srila Prabhupada was asked, did Krishna come first or Lord Chaitanya came first? Who came first? By Atma Singh. So Atma Singh told us the story. Then Prabhupada said, Radharani came first. He didn't even say Krishna or Chaitanya. He said Radharani came first. Because it is Srimati Radhika, Sarup Shakti, Ajavishanat Abhayatma, Bhutanam of Ishwarasam, Prakritim Sam Adhishtaya Sambhavami Atma Mayaya. Prabhupada says that it is the Yoga Maya who manifests the Lord. It is Srimati Radharani who manifests. So, Radharani has three concepts. One is the after long separation, she is meeting, which is Ratha Jatra. And also, in a deep separation that she is not meeting, there's Vyogini Radha. So, there is a Sangyogini Radha causing one Krishna, Vyogini Radha causing another Krishna, then union, Vishobhanunandini Radha causing original Krishna. That these three things, three aspects are simultaneously existing. And Uddhava saw this in his own, with his own eye. And he was bewildered. He paid obeisances. Oh, all the separation is gone. They're having a wonderful time. And he thanked and he paid obeisances. He's glorified. As soon as he got up, he saw everybody's crying. What happened? I just saw Radha Krishna's union and everybody's happy, Brajabhasins. Then all of a sudden the separation takes place. So Jiva Goswami Pad says there is a different chamber within Vrindavan. So Krishna did go and not go. It's all, you can say, within Vrindavan. They both exist. So there's a three concept of Radharani. It's called Vishobhanunandini Radharani, Vyogini Radharani, and Sangyogini Radharani. And these three causing three reciprocation form of Krishna according to reciprocate with Radharani in that. And
could you just relate this to Chaitanya Guru Prabhu's question? How we can understand that even Krishna outside, they say that's Yadu Kumar, but how that can also be contains the other.
It is all actually within Vrindavan. Mm-hmm. At the same time.
Oh, so it's not even.
Just like Jiva Goswami Pad says also that this time, this day of Brahmaji, this Krishna, same Krishna, who actually went to Mathura and went to Dwarka and then came back to Vrindavan. And spiritual world, Krishna never leaves. Krishna, Vrindavan Krishna is always eternally in Vrindavan. And he never leaves, Dwarka Krishna never leaves Dwarka. And Mathura Krishna never leaves Mathura. They are individually existing eternally there. But here is like a road show, very quick. Mm. Krishna is culminating.
Here it's more fluid.
There is so much information because these 16,000 queens of Dwarka, they all became maid servant of Radharani. Now it's if Krishna did not play this game that he is in the lying down next to Rukmini and crying for Gopi. These are the actual stimulation that all these 16,000 got, the idea to become Radharani's maid servant. Mm. This is a gradual progression. There is so much vast about it. It's like an ocean of nectar. Mm. So, they don't have moon.
It's a little slightly different
before.
Subject.
No, you have to understand from both sides.
All right, this is going to another subject. You can continue, but I have to go now. But thank you very, very much. And we also have that book, Mathura Meets Vrindavan, by Gaur Govinda Maharaj. We have so much reference, and I thank especially Pana Govinda Prabhu and also Chaitanya Guru Prabhu for asking the question. And special thanks to Srila Jiva Goswami also. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Yeah.